World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And then drive that van down there to Cowboy Dave, and he'll put somebody in it. And then they're going to bring the green truck back, and we're going to load it with more stuff, and we're going to run stuff back and forth. And can I tell you, here's the truth. They need more help now than ever down there. But, you know, people lose, you know, it's been, what, 3 months? It's been almost 3 months. Out of sight, out of mind. People don't think about it anymore. And so we want to still continue to try to keep an eye on those people and do the best we can to continue to help them with supplies. I saw yesterday somebody dumped a bunch of portable heaters on them. God, praise the Lord that people are doing that. It's not the government. The government's been a real pain in the butt, but it is what it is. All right. So thanks, folks. Just thanks. Hey, we can't do what we do without you. It's like a guy said to me the other day, hey, there is no Pass the Salt Ministry without you guys. We're just the name. We're just the front of it. There's none. And we're boots on the ground. We're proud of what we do, and we appreciate your help. Anything else, Dave? Got anyone to say about that? Anybody out there, Jeff? I'm going to move on here real quickly.
No, Coach, looking forward to the trip. And like I said, we're blessed. Someone locally here donated $500 worth of heating equipment, portable heating equipment that we're going to take down with us, and some other donations that we had. So it's going to be a really great trip. Lots of stuff we're going to take it down just from the local area. Had some more cash donations that we're going to be able to take down there. So it's good stuff.
Amen, man. Appreciate it, Dave. Hey, look, some of you can't go. I get it. But you can support others who do go. And I just want to look, I hate asking for money. I hate it. We know we all hate it. But the reality is we have some financial obligations that we're trying to take care of. And I want you to know, as I told you before, I believe that we have given in the neighborhood, I could be wrong, of at least $15,000. You guys have given $15,000 directly to the Cowboy. And the Cowboy is doing great stuff with it. And we're going to give him more. So we got a good guy down there on the ground, and we don't want to muzzle the ox. Cool? All right, cool. Anybody else with good to the group on that one? As I get ready to...
Coach, go ahead, real quick. Good morning, sir. Now, I was wondering, Cowboy Dave, him or his wife, do they have an Amazon page for the exact items that are needed?
That is a great question. That is a great question. And I'll find out the answer to that. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
We do know this. We do know that you can order stuff on Amazon and they will deliver it straight to Dave. We do know that. But we want to make sure they're ordering stuff. See, look, there's a little bit of lag time on this, okay? They need something today, and then you say, okay, and you order it, and you send it to them. Well, they need something else next week, so there's a lot of lag time. Betty's been down there. What do you say, Betty?
I say yes. Amazon will. You can send things. Anchorage was getting stuff every day.
Yeah, you can.
And a lot of stuff is necessity stuff, but they need heaters and generators and anything that keeps them warm through the winter.
Here's what I know. When you donate here, we give it to him. So we know where the money's gone. We don't just dump it into some big whatever. You with me, friends? We give. Now, you want to go online and give directly to Cowboy Dave? God bless you. You can do that. I got his webpage in here somewhere, I think, Spencer. I don't know where it is. Go ahead and do that. I'm fine with it. I just want you to know that he's a missionary that we've adopted down there. And we're sending a lot of stuff to him because I've been down there. I see what he's doing, the boots on the ground. And folks, I hate to tell you this, the control. What is it about a spirit of control? And everybody wants to be in control. Our ministry did this and our ministry is doing this and our ministry. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. I want to get it to Cowboy Dave and let him do it. Huh? They don't have to stamp that I did it and we did it. And So there's Cowboy Dave. If you want to give directly to him, God bless you. Go ahead and do it. David Graham Cowboy. Huh? This is from stuff that they were doing down. He goes everywhere. Okay. He goes everywhere. Wherever there's a, oh, there's my grandkids. He goes everywhere where there's a calamity. There's a tents. I think I showed you that the other night. They're living in tents. Snowing. Cold. All right. Cool. We got a good place to plug in there. And if some of you are interested in going down there, I'd love to help you do that. Look, I don't want to make this about that all the time, okay? And let me throw this out there. Some of you, how about you organizing a Pass the Salt event in your town? You. Just a Saturday. Invite some of your friends. And I would love to come explain what we do here at Coach Dave, help you build a little bit of a little brigade where you are. I don't care if it's only 10 people. I don't care. And you don't have to pay me. I'd be happy to come. I don't bring a great big entourage and all that stuff. So we would love to come because those are, I'm not bragging. This Coach Dave's electric in person, right? I mean, I'm a coach, man. I'm a coach. And so I can inspire and encourage other people to get involved. So if you really want to expand your stakes a little bit, if you really want to reach out and do something bigger than you, I'd love to come help you, man. I'd love to come help you. So just get a hold of me and say, Coach, let's work on a date and let's get you there. You know what's really happening? I don't know what's, I suppose it's COVID and the results of all that. Man, I hardly go anywhere anymore. Hardly anywhere. It's crazy. Now's the time when we ought to be amping it up, right? I want to be amping it up. So, but two, another thing important. The discerning of spirits. I want to talk a little bit about the spiritual world today. How do you know who to trust?
Boom.
Hang on a minute. In your own life. How do you know who to trust? Remember this, Jesus Christ himself only had 12 guys around him. One of them was a sellout. Now, we don't know this for sure. I wonder how many other near sellouts there were that Peter had almost convinced. Because I've noticed the way people, come on now. If I were to say, all right, if I just picked out a name, doesn't matter. All right. Jeff Klein. Hey, Jeff, who do you call and talk to? Who in the queue do you talk to? Hey, Betty, who do you call and talk to? Hey, Clay, who do you call and talk to? Hey, Dave, because here's what happens. Little pockets always break out. It's the same at your church, all right? It's the same at your church. You have people that you gravitate towards. Who knows why, but you gravitate towards that person. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes it ain't so good. And why is that? What is it that makes us understand? See, we don't understand. The Bible tells us to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it in captivity to the obedience of Christ. And I think we all need to be very careful of who our associates are. Somebody say amen. Because I'm not going to go into history. I can tell you some names of some people who are not here, who were here, and were really deeply part of it. And where are they? And I think, whether we like it or not, we have a tendency to have our own agenda. Own agenda. This is my plan. This is my event. This is my outreach. This is my ministry. You got eye trouble, man. We got eye trouble. Not about me, my eye. Not on a team anyway. The satisfaction comes when you score the touchdown. All the team celebrates it. All the team celebrates. And so you have to be really a discerner of spirits to figure out why is it. Look, I'm just being gut honest with you today, okay? Why is it people want to butter up to you? Why is that? And I've always made the suggestion. Like if somebody said, hey, Coach Dave, how would you like to meet Donald Trump? Well, pick somebody else because somebody, you know, whatever. How would you like to meet? I can introduce you to Donald Trump. You know what the first thing goes through our head? Man, maybe if I meet Donald Trump, he can do something for me. That's the natural way we think. We have a tendency then to want to get to know these famous people for what we can get from the association with them. Somebody say amen, right? And so I run it into it all the time here in the queue. Amen. People say, well, how do you get Coach Dave's ear? How do you get, first of all, you pick up the phone, call me. That's how you do it. And I'll say, how can I help you? And I might say, call Gary. I might say, call Chad. I might do that. But if you're here to try to advance your agenda, nothing that there's wrong with your agenda, but if that's the whole focus, so I contacted him 10 times about that, and he never did do anything. And then you call Betty, and then you call Tim, and then, sorry, Betty, not picking on you. Huh? There it goes. Yeah. Somebody say amen so you know exactly what I'm talking about. And amen. The Bible says that one of the things that the Lord hates, there's six things. Seven are an abomination, and one of them is he who sows discord amongst the brethren. Anybody want to argue with me on that? You think that's not in there? Huh? You didn't get your way, so you call somebody else? Oh, yeah, did he do that to you? Can you believe after all I've done to him? Huh? And he doesn't even answer. What are you looking for, encouragement? So, this is good. It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Amen, Coach.
I say it to my wife. That's why I call her Yang. I know every time I open my mouth, she's going to yang it. It's a great balance, though. I mean, I love her to death. It's a great balance. But if I say, she says, hey, let's go out to dinner. I say, okay, where do you want to go, honey? And she'll say, I love my wife. I'm showing you something here. Let's go to Subway. She'll say,
I know what you're going to say.
I don't want to go to Subway. I don't want to eat all that. Okay, where do you want to go? Why is it always a yin and a yang? Where do you want to go? Tell me, this is your night. Where do you want to go? Right? But the reality of it is, we're not all in the same place. And that's okay. The problem comes when we try to go behind the scene and manipulate. That's not of the Lord. That is sowing discord among them. Hey, Johnny, that'd be a good word. I'll get to you, Randy. I'll get to you, Mary Beth. Look up discord. Six things the Lord hates. Seven are abomination. One who sows discord, disagreement among persons or things, between differences of opinions, variance, opposition, contention, strife, any disagreement which produces angry passions, contest, disputes, litigation or war, disagreement. Okay, got it. So, folks, we got to be really, 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 we're all here for the same reason. I want to score touchdowns. That's what I want to do. I'm sorry I can't get the ball and run your play. By the way, I wouldn't be a pastor for all the cheese in China. Is there cheese in China? I wouldn't be, because I believe that most pastors spend all of their time on this right here, discord in the body about the way things run. Look, I'm not in a bad mood, but I want to get this off because I'm going to go somewhere with this here, okay? Stay with me a second. Mary Beth, your hand's about to fall off. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, you said, why do people want to meet like Trump and Coach Dave? Well, it's because we all want a seat at the king's table. Not sure why that is. Part of it is selfishness and wanting to be that person that gets to sit by, you know, like Jesus sits at the right hand of God.
Right, and the apostle table, asks, right?
And
it's not always nefarious. You just see a different way that you, God, we should like to do this. And I'd be willing to do this. I was going to say I love you all, but that'd be a lie because I don't even know some of you. Or as one guy said to me, he hated me, I know it. He said, I love you in the Lord. I mean, he did really like me, but he couldn't say that. Huh? Love you in the Lord. Oh, yeah, I bet you do. Okay, hang on. So here's where I want to go here. Let me go. I'm going to talk a little bit today about spirits. Huh? Familiar spirits. First of all, let's before we get rolling here, we don't believe, not really, the American church does not believe in the demonic anymore. And I think if you were to go into the average American church and you were to do a Q&A, a question and answer in the average American church, ask them to get up and explain to you the demonic realm and how it works. Does anybody think that the average person in church could do that? No, of course they couldn't. And the Bible tells us that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Well, evidently Satan has devices, and we don't even know what they are. Whether we all realize it or not, we all have what? Spirits. We have the Holy Spirit, and then we have other spirits. And what are some of those other spirits? Where do those other spirits come from? Well, you get a familiar spirit is a spirit that comes. Well, we can read down things, but I want to explain this to you. So when you were a young kid, when you were in school, you got picked on by some bully who was tall and wore glasses. And now at 40 years old, you're still influenced by people who are tall and wear glasses. That's kind of trivial, but you get what I'm saying? That's a familiar spirit. It's one that you have invited in, and I hate to tell you this, you pet it like a dog. You're comfortable with it. From the beginning of recorded time in the Garden of Eden, humans have desired to be like God. They desire to become all-knowing. It began with Adam and Eve when the serpent deceived Eve into believing that she would become like God by taking a bite of the forbidden fruit. We all know that story. Scroll on down, John. I'm talking to some of us about me. I'm talking to me and my wife. My wife is all, I love my wife to death. She's great balance, but she's always the yang. I say left, she says right. I say up, she says why. Why not down? She always does that. Why did the enemy deceive Eve with a lie? Perhaps because he was chasing after his desire to become God and spread his kingdom. So the devil wants to be able to control you. If he can control you and manipulate you, he is God in your life. And this stuff's going on, happening to us all the time, and we don't even identify for what it is. And how many of you out there know this about your spouse? You ain't going to go to this subject because you know how they're going to react if you bring that subject up. Could that be a spirit? It's no surprise then that the enemy continues to deceive humans with the same basic lie that we can become all-knowing, that we receive direction, wisdom, and freedom apart from Jesus. Satan uses this trap to enslave and trick people into following him. Hey, folks, how do you know who you're following? Well, just look at your behavior, and it tells you who you are following. Think about this. At the heart of all of us, me, you, all of us, is selfishness. At the heart of all of us, what's in this for me? Folks, that ain't of the Lord. Greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friend. Give, and it shall be given, heaped up, pressed down. It's hard to give, right? Why? When you were a young kid, was there lack in your house? Were there, you had five kids like I did, and you had to hide the cookies under the pillow so you'd make sure you had them to eat them before you went to bed? You know, anybody know what I'm talking about out there? And so therefore, then that makes you stingy, and you don't want to give up anything. You don't want to give away anything. Or how about this? I'm a pack rat. My wife says, will you get rid of this? You walk down into our multi-million dollar studio, and she says, why won't you get rid of that? And I don't, because there's some type of attraction to it. But the attraction to it is probably when I was young, I didn't have one of those, and now I have it. You get it? You know what I'm saying? Those are familiar spirits. According to Merriam's Dictionary, a familiar spirit refers to a spirit or a demon that serves or prompts an individual. Another definition is spirit of a dead person invoked by medium. I don't think you guys are doing that. I don't think you're, I'm telling you this. Oh, Lord, do I have to say it, Lord? Okay, I will. Some of you are still controlled by your ex-spouse. Sorry. Sorry, there I said it. Some of you are still controlled by your ex-spouse, whether you want to believe it or not. Why? Because there is a spirit associated with that, huh? Well, but there's a spirit. So we're going to keep going here. So mediums, We know that you can go to a fortune teller and a fortune teller pulls in me. What are demons? What are spirits? Do we even talk about this in church? Huh? Well, demons are fallen angels, I believe. I don't want to get too deep into that. Oh, man, scrolling down. Come on, come on. Keep going. People will confide in these mediums again for it. They want to know what's going on. Why do people seek out? Look, some of you don't seek out mediums, but you go to familiar sources. And when you begin to do gossip, which we all do, when you begin to do gossip, could that be a spirit? Could that be something inside you that's looking for affirmation outside of you? Pull up number one. It's going to blow your mind. Pull up number one. Hey, friends, there is a real spiritual world. Okay, it is more real. There is around us a dimension. By the way, we're going to that dimension. When we die, Bible says we pass on. What does that mean? You pass on. We go into a different dimension. Now, we don't know that because we live in this one. We've always lived in this natural realm. But around us, I could do a study on that, how many heavens, layers of heaven are there? And we don't understand it because this world is it's like a skyscraper. You get on the elevator, you go to another room and another room and another room, another dimension and another dimension. And the only way that those who are operating in those other dimensions can get into your dimension is you invite them in. You open a door and let them come in. It's called an open door. And many of us, I'm talking to myself today. I'm talking to I love my wife so much. I'm talking to my wife today. I see her all the time and she sees me all the time. Fall into this trap of this familiar spirit. A lot of times I know what she's going to say after I say what I'm getting ready to say. I know what her response is going to be. And what? She knows what my response is probably going to be when she tells me something. Why? Because we know each other, but that's a familiar spirit. Am I making sense? Somebody say, Coach, you're wasting time. I don't waste time. But I want you to understand that we are all controlled by these familiar spirits. Where did they come from? Spirit of depression? Spirit of self-mutilation? Well, I mean, I don't know. We could name whatever they all are. And see, a demon doesn't have to be, he doesn't have to possess you in order to oppress you. Spencer, here's a great word. Look those two words up. Oppress and possess. They're not the same thing. So to oppress is to oppose. To oppose, to overpower, to overburden. Many Christians are oppressed from familiar spirits. Wow, this is deep, isn't it? Huh? Why do I have so much junk? Could have been because I was the fourth of five kids. And we didn't have a whole lot. And something deep inside of me says, I got to save that. My mom always talked about us being, she was what they called a child of the Depression. There were seven of them during the Depression. She used to say that that on Christmas morning, one of the things that they would get, my mom, born in 1924. My mom said that during the Depression, under the Christmas tree, they would get an orange. And she used to peel the orange and eat, not the orange, that little cup, not the peel, but that layer inside the peel. And they would sit around and they would just, because they never got oranges. And so what did I grow up with? I grew up with a mom who was always lack. Oh, we can't afford it. Somebody say amen. So I know somebody's out there relating to what I'm saying.
Amen.
Grow up with a poverty mentality. We can't afford that. What are we going to do if something goes bad? And what is it? See, these are spirits. If we would understand this, these are spirits, familiar spirits that we've invited in and we've petted and we've comforted. Huh? And it's causing conflict in your marriage because of a familiar spirit that you're, whenever a situation comes, boom, that spirit pops up, man. His head pops up and he wants to be in control and he's controlling you. So he's oppressing you without possessing you. See, I have the Holy Spirit of God inside me. I have the Holy Ghost. The devil cannot possess me. I'm already possessed. But he can oppress me. Oh, yeah, he sure can. He can plant thoughts in my life. He can bring up scars from the past, woundings that I had before, all that. It's good, isn't it? This is good. And so unless we understand this battle, when the Lord said that we're to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity, meaning what? Hey, Coach Dave, I'm sorry your mom had to eat oranges, but you're not in poverty anymore. I still have that poverty mentality. Somebody give me a thumbs up and say, that's me too, Coach. I got that poverty mentality. I got it. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. But Coach, I can't give because for some reason, I just want to hang on to everything. See, would that be a familiar spirit? What makes you do like that? When if you really, I said this a number of times, if you go down to Swannanoa and see what those people are living in, it'll make you, I don't know the word, make you ashamed. How you're hoarding everything you have. It's a spirit. It's a familiar spirit, right? Now, do you believe this? Bible, the law of sowing and reaping. Do you believe that? That you will reap what you sow? See, they taught us in evangelifishism to give, to get. Oh, no, 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 no. See, that's a whole selfish desire. You give because there's a need and it blesses the Lord that you are a cheerful giver. That's why you give.
Boom.
Hey, did it ever dawn on you? The reason you don't ever have anything is because you won't let go of what you got. You won't plant any seed. And see, it's a, look, I'm not being,
boom.
It's a spirit, man. It's a spirit of greediness, of lack, or whatever it was. You were raised with it. It's always around. You're not possessed. You're oppressed.
Boom.
And so whenever that situation occurs, boy, that spirit rears its ugly head. And then Jesus said, hey, you better take captive that thought. You better take captive that thought because that thought didn't come from you. You take captive that other voice and you bring it to the obedience of Christ. Say, Coach, I'd love to give some money down there in Swannanoa, but I don't have enough money. I'm so, okay, well then go ahead and believe the devil. Because the Lord says if you give, it's going to be given to you. Heaped up, pressed down, running over, shall men give into you. That's what it says. And some of you ain't never planting and want to harvest. Explain that one to me. How can you not plant and not get and expect the harvest? Look, I'm not a name it, claim it. That's not what I'm taught. If you're giving to get, you got the wrong spirit. But if you're planting because that's being obedient to the Lord, then it's a natural. You plant and you reap and you sow. You sow and you reap. It's a natural law. It's the law of sowing and reaping. I'm not talking about money. I don't want your money. It's a law of sowing and reaping. And some of you, hold your ears, are so damn stingy. Now ask yourself why. Why? See, that's what it means. Take captive every thought. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. You mean to tell me, you see friends who have a financial need and you don't help them? And yet you say they're your friends? Oh man, this is deep, huh? I'm trying to set some of you free. But you're not going to be set free if you don't recognize the spirit that you're dealing with, the familiar spirit. All right? Now, go ahead, Mary Beth. Anybody want to talk about that specifically? Because I'm going to shift gears.
I just want to say that, you know, I heard from Adrian Rogers that you can't sow and reap what you keep in your barn.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really profound. And also,
you eat your seed.
But also the other thing is, where do you draw the line? I do have a problem with knowing where to draw the line with people, you know, like using
you. How would
you
like to be me? How would you like to be me? When I get requests all the time from people who need financial aid. And can I tell you what the first thing I do? I'm just going to tell all of you out there. I'm going to be honest with you. You know what the first thing I do when people need money? Open the books. Have they ever given any? Have they ever given 10 bucks a month? Ever given? You mean they haven't sowed and they want to reap? See, folks, that's a law. It's not me being mean. It's the law. See, if you have sowed $10 a month and you have a need, well, heck yes. You sowed into the stuff, of course. But most people won't let go of the seed they got in their hand. They won't let go of it. They need more because they're short. They're always short. There's never enough. Could it be a spirit of greed or lack or whatever is controlling? You're not possessed. You're oppressed. That's called a familiar spirit. Were we on that? A familiar? You want to break greed and lack? Give. Give. Give.
Boom.
Folks, look, we give all the time here. We
give. Amen.
And the blessings just keep coming in. How do I have a camper to give away? Somebody gave it to me. How do we have a truck? Somebody donated it to me. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I learned this. When money gets tight, I give. Why? Because you reap what you sow. If you sow greed, you're going to get greed. If you sow lack, you're going to get lack. Relax. I'm not asking for money. I'm trying to help set you free. Okay? And these are things probably most of us, if we're not careful, end up in the situation we're in right now because of things that happened to you when you were younger. From your parents, from your school teachers, from your coach, from your classmates. Down in those formative years when you're 15, 16, 17 years old, a mindset was set in you, a familiar spirit was on you, and your mindset, take captive every thought. Your mindset is always back to that lack, greed, whatever it be. And the only way you break it is through obedience. Attack it head on. Attack it head on. You got a spirit of lack? Well, find somebody to give it to. And I'm not talking about giving it to Coach Dave. I mean, we take it and we love having it, yeah. But when was the last time you just sent some friend you knew was struggling a little bit? $50. When's the last time you did that? Say, well, Coach, we tithe at our church. Oh, well, God bless you. In other words, you're doing it because you have to. You know what you're saying? You have to do it. Time out. Coach Dave doesn't believe in tithing. Been through that. I believe that's Old Testament. I believe it's Old Testament. I think it's legalism. And I think that the American church has built these large churches and everything we said because they've made people feel guilty about not giving money and said, you have a duty to tithe. No. You give out of a gracious heart. If you're doing it for duty, I'm telling you, friends, I hear people say, well, Coach, I've tithed my whole life and God's always been faithful. Yeah. Yeah. You know, he might be just as faithful if you send it to Mark Mattingly as to your church. Huh? Give. 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 Oh, yeah, there was a good one. Some of you doing it for the tax write-off. Well, we're getting all over it today, aren't we? Huh? Come on now. Hey, Coach, I got $1,000. I'd love to give past some minutes. Is it tax deductible? You wouldn't believe the number. Oh, Lord.
How about my $10?
I'm trying to set you free. I don't care if you give a nickel here. I don't care. I got to ask this, Betty. How could anybody come in here every day and get blessed like they do every day in here and not give $10 a month? It blows me away. You're missing on the blessing. You're missing on the blessing. Boy, it's lining up over here. It's lining up. Okay, I got a video I want to show you. but I'm going to get to what's up here first. Are we still friends? Go ahead, Jeff.
We're still friends and making more. Coach, last night, here's an example. We never take in any
Jeff money. Jeff Klein has as giving a heart as anybody I know. Go, Jeff.
We never take in any money in the church in the garage. I'm sitting there last night, and lately it's been real low on people, numbers of people coming. So Brandon's there with me, and Brandon gets mad if people don't show. He's a young kid. He's like, well, 5 to 6, just me and him. Then Jim come in from Chesterville, old guy I know, good old boy. Drove all the way down from North Chesterville. So we're still thinking, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, man, let's just bag this thing tonight. There ain't nobody here. And I'm thinking, I ain't giving them my time. I ain't giving them. I'm going
to
go home.
I got other stuff to do. That's right. Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, about 12 minutes after 6, this other kid walks in. I think you've met him before, Skyler.
Yeah.
Been a good kid. But the last year and a half, he's hit bottom. Oh, buddy, his life has been a wreck. His sister's life's a wreck. His dad's life's a wreck. It is horrible. And I really like the kid. Good kid. He was doing well for a while. So you know what I did? I'm like, all right, Skyler's here. Let's go. We got 3 of them sitting in chairs and me. I went to Psalms 37. Just did your show yesterday. That's all I did. I went 2 or 3 verses, talk. 2 or 3 verses, talk. And just went through the whole thing. And they added. They were talking, revealing some of the problems they're having. Oh, my goodness. It was great. So Jim, the old guy, he's a Christian, but, man, he deals with some stuff. I mean, sometimes he just wants to punch somebody in the mouth. He said last night, he said, you know what? As I kept saying, well, Coach added more yesterday on the show. Pull up the show. He added more to it than what I'm giving you. So Jim says, man, I've been saying it. I'm going to pull that show up. I said, pull up yesterday's show and watch it, Jim. We got done. Skyler was telling me, he didn't tell me everything with them sitting there, but when they all left, he come back in. He said, JC, do you know that I've had charges put on me and I've been in court? I said, oh, I heard something about it. I said, but I don't know the details and I don't care. Well, I come to find out, he starts telling me 2 or 3 serious charges, assault and blah, 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 with his sister. And he called the cops on his sister because she was assaulting. So it went all through it. He come to find out, he told me yesterday morning, I couldn't believe why they were doing this to Skyler, knowing her background for the last 15 years of being in trouble with the law. And then it come to, he said, I went into court this morning, and the judge dropped all charges. All I have to do is community service.
Hmm.
He's smiling. But he also told me, I said, talk about being born again through the scripture there. And he said, well, I said, who led you, Lord? You? Do you do it by yourself or somebody lead you? My dad. I said, your dad ain't no more of a Christian than a man in the moon. So I said, you got false pretenses on what it means to be a Christian. So we go through all that. He goes in, he says, hey, and I talked to him about, hey, as you're doing that community service, you just look up. And every once in a while when you're doing community service, you just smile and say, thank you, Jesus. I said, but you need to get in that Bible. You need to get back in here in this garage. You need to hang out with some of us. So he looked up on the shelf, seen the few cross hats I got. He said, I've always wanted one of them. How much are them? He bought one, put it on his head. I said, now you wear that every day, get in your Bible every day and hang out here. And you were going to turn your life around. We talked about him being oppressed. And that's what we went through. The whole, demonic spirit.
Well, Jeff, we're all oppressed in one way or another. That's why the Lord said, take captive every thought and ask yourself, why did I respond like that? I've often said something sharp to Yang, and as soon as I got through saying it, I thought, why the hell did you say that? It wasn't me. Where's that thought coming from that would initiate that kind of reaction? That's what I'm trying to talk about here, okay?
Well, you know what the end result was last night? And I was kind of hard on him, but I had to be, because he'd get away again. He'd be lost for a while. So he ends up saying, he's pulling the show up. He pulled it up on his phone right there to show me. He knows that he can do it, see if it was right. So he's probably listening this morning. And I ended up, I had prayer with him, and he was just so happy walking out of there. Such a big smile on his face. Then I called Pastor Matt afterwards to give him an update on what happened. Now Pastor Matt's going to pull the show up. I said, you go to Psalms 37 tonight. You read it, pull up yesterday's show, and you watch it. He said, I got to start pulling that up early in the morning and watching that. So they got three guys last night supposed to pull up the show just to get fed. That was it.
That's it, man. Got to stink and think, and we got to change the way we think. Randy.
Coach, here's how I think. When I get the thought, I've learned to do something very quickly. I obey what the Holy Spirit just told me.
Boy, you better do it right then, Randy. Huh? To obey is better than sacrifice. If the Holy Spirit, Randy. This is me. When I hear from the Holy Spirit, and I know that I do, I acknowledge it. I heard that. All right, Lord. Now I'm disobedient if I don't follow through. Go ahead, Randy.
So, Coach, talking about your thinking and renewing your minds, Coach, this is part of this scenario. So, in other words, don't let that get away from you. So I wake up in the night, this morning, Coach, and I'm thinking about Cowboy Dave, and I'm just thinking about him, and I'm really actually praying under and laying there in bed over him. And the Holy Spirit says, send him some money. So, Coach, I'm going to write a check. I'm getting ready to write a check. I'm not going to let it go to tomorrow. I'm not going to wait a week and lose it. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to learn to be obedient in real time. That's what we need, Coach.
Train yourself to be obedient. Because, look, if you see a need and the Lord tells you to fill it and you wait 4 days to do it, well, why do you expect the Lord to answer you right on time? You're just giving you a little bit of your own medicine. Oh, you need that? Well, here, dude, wait 5 more days and then I'll bring it to you. Now, look, folks, this is where we have manipulated the gospel, the name it, claim it. It's been manipulated. Give and it shall be given unto you. Why? Because it's a law of sowing and reaping. But if you are giving to get, you're missing the whole thing, man. You're missing the whole thing. Clint.
I've got two things this morning. First, I'm sure there's people in the queue that has never given anything. And it reminds me, especially this time of year, we have a community page and people will go on the community page. Is there any church that is helping with Christmas? Never been into a church, never even think about the things of God until they need something. And, you know, I'm like you. I ask them, do they go to church anywhere? But they always want the church to help, and they badmouth them if they don't. Well, I'm sure you got people in the queue that gets blessed every morning, gets fed every morning, and it's just like a restaurant feeding you, and you go to another and never pay anything.
That's right.
And you go to another restaurant and give them money. I mean, it's just crazy.
It's crazy.
And I want to encourage people that's listening. If you're getting fed here, you need to support the ministry. And the second thing is, and I'm probably going to, I think it was Randy said he was going to write a check to Dave down in Swannanoa. I want to encourage you, if the Lord lays something on your heart, and he has mine several times, that Coach Dave is supporting, Past Salt Ministry is supporting, write a check to Past Salt Ministry and let them, I won't say glory, but why wouldn't you let people see Past the Salt Ministry instead of letting people see you?
Amen.
And because, you know, we're supposed to give and not let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. And, you know, are you giving to get recognition? If you are, you know, maybe you don't want to write. But I want Past the Salt Ministry to get the recognition. And so anytime that I give a special offering, I give it to you so that you know, Past the Salt Ministry can get the glory, because we're all Past the Salt, aren't we?
Amen. Amen, Clint. Hey, Clint, how about this one? For those of you who are out there, because somebody texted us, well, we're concerned about where our money goes. I get it. What about the government? You're tithing to the government, and you don't care where the money goes, right? Come on, man. Quit hiding behind those excuses, right? I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account for what we, huh? He looking over my shoulder. I promise you that. So,
I have no question of where what our money does when I you know, our church or whoever writes a check to Pass the Salt Ministries. There's never a question. If there was, I wouldn't give.
Amen. I wouldn't want you to. I'll be held accountable for it. Thanks, Clint. Mary Beth.
Joyce Meyer wants.
Hang on a second. Mary, hang on. Folks, this isn't about giving. I'm not trying to twist your arm to give. I'm trying to get you to look at these familiar spirits. What is keeping you from getting more of a blessing? Something is holding you back. And I can promise you, Jonathan, pull it up for me. 7 things that the Lord hates. See if you can find that. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
Just going to say, Joyce Meyer talked about it once about giving, and she said, like, you give money to everything. You give money for everything. So, Coach, you do not have to be squeamish about asking for money. If you need money, ask for money. I mean, Amen. It's pretty easy. So, and God says, give in secret, and your reward will be in secret. And then I just feel like giving. And like giving is just like a big circle. It's just a big circle. It always comes back to you in one way or another.
If you believe in God's economy. So 6 things the Lord hates, 7 are an abomination. Pride, gossip, a lying tongue, gossip, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart. Wow. Notice this. It isn't actions that he hates. It's body parts. A proud look, eyes, a lying tongue. Lying tongue exposes the heart. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart. You see these body parts? A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Why are you thinking that stuff? Why is that? Well, it's carnal nature, carnal man, things that happened to you in the past, familiar spirits, wicked imaginations. Huh? He hates imaginations? He hates feet that be swift, running to mischief. Picking up the phone, calling, gossiping. Do you believe what Coach said? Come on, some of you are guilty. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. It's pretty simple, isn't it? What if we in the church just didn't do those things? But they're hard. Why? Because I am who I am because of where I grew up and my life experiences. Some good, some bad. I don't know if you've picked up on this. I'm pretty tenacious. I'm tenacious. Why? I had to be. Life experiences. Maybe I had that bend. Maybe the Lord created me that way. But I've developed a tenacity. And some like it, some don't like it. But my tenacity is a product of my life experiences. Now, I think if you took a good look at your own life, you would realize that whatever that is in you, it is the result of a life experience. I got something I want to say. I'm going to say, hi, I love you. I just use this example. You guys see my wife. Is there a prettier 67-year-old in America than her? 68, she just yelled at me. And you know what she's burdened by in her life? I'm sorry, honey. It's just a good example. She didn't make homecoming court when she was in high school. Because she said she was built like a plump. A pear? She's built like a pear. She's going to beat me up. She's yelling at me. She's going to beat me up. Point being, something in her high school created this image in her of who she is. And she went to her reunion. Was it 50th? Anyway, she went to a reunion, her high school reunion, and I told her, before you go, I said, sweetheart, those women, and they're all going to be fat and ugly. You're going to be the prettiest woman there. Quit looking at the past. You're beautiful now. But see, point being what? We're burdened by these things that happen to us. They continue to play over and over and over in our heart and in our head. And I don't know of a more beautiful inside and out woman than that 68-year-old beauty. I don't know a better one. And she would tell you this every time. I said, man, I can't believe I snatched you. I can't believe I snatched you 45 years ago. Huh? Amen? You with me, folks? So what's the familiar spirit? Oh, I had something I wanted to show you.
Amen.
I wouldn't be able to go. Come on in, Mary Beth. Quickly.
Just quick. So I was really teased when I was young, and I'm sorry I'm monopolizing today. And when I was 13, a male chauvinist called me fat. And it has never gone away. And I guess I need to ask the Lord to get it away. Get it away from me. It is a spirit.
By the way, they called me chunky. Now, here's the truth. Hey, Jonathan, I am chunky.
Me too.
I mean, I could make up all the mirrors I want to. I could change every mirror in my house. The reality of it is I was built chunky.
We're still chunky.
But I'm not going to be identified by the fact others think I'm chunky. Right? But understand that. Look, they used to call me small fry and shrimp. And I grew up with all that stuff. And look at me today. I'm tenacious. So all that name calling made me tenacious. Maybe overly so, right? Maybe overly
so. Big boned. He said big boned.
I'm big boned. I'm big boned. Whatever it is. So I guess to kind of wrap this whole thing up, man, I got more stuff I want. Maybe we dig into a little bit more. No show tomorrow. Take a good look at yourself and ask yourself this. This is why I've tried to do. When something happens or somebody says something or you get that feeling and you want to speak up, take captive that thought and ask yourself this. Why does that bother me? Why does that bother me? Why do I feel I have to respond this way to what she just said? Why does it bother me? See, folks, that's taking captive every thought. That's what it is. So one of the things that you deal with, and look, I'm not trying to get money. I'm trying to set you free. Most of us, when we feel an urge to give, most of us do what some of you in here have done. I don't want to give it to some place that's not worthy. I don't want to give it to somebody that's, Hey, folks, how much of your money do you misuse? How come you don't use that same standard with you? Also, it's my money. I can go blow it on lottery tickets. It's my money, but I ain't going to give to that ministry. What? Huh? Same standard. It's the same standard, dude. Judge yourself by the same standard. Because the Bible says it's the same standard that you use to judge others, you're going to be judged too. So you won't give any money. You won't give 10 bucks a month because you're spending 10 bucks on the lottery. I'm meddling now, right? I'm meddling. I'm trying to set you free, baby. I'm trying to set you free. I used to be the most selfish guy in the world. You know, they always said this about my brother Dan. My brother Dan, we just lost Dan, didn't awfully identify a guy by only having one arm. He was my brother Dan from the time he was whatever. My mom used to point out how generous my brother Dan was. He just always gave and gave, and he would laugh and he'd pick up the tab. He just gave and gave and gave. Because you know what? God loves a cheerful giver. Why aren't we more cheerful in giving? Why aren't we more cheerful, understanding if I give here, it's going to relieve her pain? I told you the story, didn't I? I'd gone to the post office, and it's about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. And I'm driving down the road on my way home, kind of opening the mails as I'm looking at it. And somebody sent me a $100 bill. It's one of the envelopes that I got in the mail, the $100 bill. And I'm driving down the road, and here goes this little girl. Well, she's a young girl, young mother, pushing a baby in a stroller and hanging on to another kid. And I knew they probably had money trouble. Probably did. So I went up, circled around, came back, and pulled up beside her, rolled down my window, and says, "Hey, honey, I sure appreciate you. I sure appreciate you taking care of your kids and staying home and all that kind of stuff. And I'd just like to bless you with this." And I handed her that $100 bill. I didn't know what she was going to do with it. I didn't know if she was going to go buy drugs. I didn't know what it was with it. And the tears poured out of her eyes. I won't see you tomorrow. I'll see you Friday. Have a great Thanksgiving.